Luke 17:5-6. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase your faith." But the Lord said, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you."
Well, good morning, everybody. It's sure glad to see all of you here. We got quite a crowd today. Glad to see all of you. Be with us, and I hope that everything that we do today be uplifting to you, and that will bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome back. Been missing you. Been missing you. She's been traveling all over the country. And so glad to have you back. Chris, good to see you and your family back with us. Yeah. I want to say that it's been a couple of tough weeks. But you know what? We've got Jesus Christ with us. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things can work together for good for those who love the Lord. Now, these are things that we need to know and understand and be aware of. That all things work for good for those who love the Lord. Now, I want to ask you a question. How's your faith? If I was to ask you to raise your hand, please do not raise your hand. But if I was to ask you to raise your hand and say, okay, how many of you in this room believe that you have all the faith that you need and you don't need to get any better? I'm glad nobody raised their hand for two reasons. Number one, I told you not to. And number two, I'd have to get on to you about that. Because I can tell you right now that none of us, no matter how good you think you are, no matter how great of faith you think you have, none of us in this room today have the level of faith that we need to have. We can always get better. We can always get better. We can always do a better job. We can always seek to improve. And folks, I want you to know that the day that you've reached your pinnacle of faith and that you will not need to grow any more in faith, is when that faith becomes sight and you see Jesus Christ face to face. That's when we know. Because faith will be replaced by sight. We will know it. So none of us here can say that we are perfect in every way as far as our faith is concerned. And all of us today can say that we can get better. All of us. All of us. We've been studying on Sunday nights the book of Daniel. And I told y'all a couple of weeks ago, those that were here for our study, I told you a couple of weeks ago that one of the things that I personally am seeing is the faith that is in or was in Daniel. What great faith he had. It's incredible the amount of faith that Daniel had. And we just finished up the part of where he was taken and thrown into the lion's den. Think about that faith. He wasn't worried about those lions. He knew that God could and would deliver him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, still in the book of Daniel. Same thing with the fiery furnace. They didn't fear that. Even though Nebuchadnezzar told them, said that, "Can your God save you from this fiery furnace?" And they said, "He could, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow down and worship the altar that you have built to yourself. We're not going to do it. We're going to stay faithful to God regardless of what happens." This is all part of being faithful. And it's incredible to read the Old Testament and to learn about that faith that these people had. In our Bible study on Sunday morning with our college age class, we are studying Abraham. And if you look at Abraham, Abraham's faith started about this much. Because remember, Abraham was raised in an idolatrous area. The same area, by the way, where Babylon is or was. The same area where Daniel is or was. That is the same area in which Abraham came out of. A very idolatrous area. And this area worshipped the moon god what? Sin. The moon god Sin. I love that because that's easy for me to remember. The moon god Sin. That's who they worshipped. And Abraham came out of that. Came out of that era of worshipping the moon god. But when God called him, what did he do? He left everything that he had and did what God told him. Throughout Abraham's life and throughout a study of Abraham, you'll see Abraham growing from this much faith to more faith than we can imagine. Because he was willing even to give up his own son for sacrifice. And it tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that he did so knowing that God could raise Abraham even, or God could raise his son even from the dead. He knew that. What a great increase in faith as it went along. Realize that our faith, when we are baptized, doesn't end there. It starts to grow. It is the beginning. Baptism is always the beginning. It is never the end. It is where we begin our walk with God. It is where we begin our walk with Jesus Christ. And our faith continues to grow throughout our entire life until that day that we stand before Jesus Christ and we see Him face to face. That is when my faith doesn't need to grow anymore. That's when it ends. Until then, we've got work to do. So my question is for you today is this. How can we increase our faith? And I never do a lesson about faith without first going to the definition of faith. Faith is one of those interesting topics that the Bible specifically defines. And it is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 tells us exactly what faith is. Okay? Now let's look at this. Now faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. Notice what I've got up there in blue. What does it say? A certainty. A certainty. Let me start off by telling you what a certainty is. A certainty is this. I know that God created the world. God is our creator. God is my heavenly Father. I know that. That's a certainty. I know that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And He reigns with His Father. And I know for a fact that He went to the cross and died for me so that I could be with Him. That's a certainty. I know that God has prepared a place for all those who believe in Him, who follow Him, who trust in Him, called heaven. I know, without any shadow of a doubt, that there's a place called paradise. And all those individuals who are faithful to God, who are faithful to Jesus Christ, who have passed on before us, Jim. Those people are in paradise today. And I know that they're there. And it is a wonderful place. And it is a place in which if those people could come back here, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't come back. Their response would be rather, we want you to come to where we are. Folks, that's certainty. I know those things exist. I know that there is a God in heaven. I know about His Son, Jesus Christ. But in the same regard, I know there's a place called hell. And there's a place of torment. And it is a place that is set aside for those who reject God. There's a place that is set aside for those who have no faith. There's a place that is set aside for those who reject the saving grace that comes to us through Jesus Christ. I know those things exist. I know that there are people there now. And I know that one day we will be called up together to be with Him. I know that. That is faith. That is certainty. No one in this room can tell me any different. You can't tell me that God doesn't exist. You can't tell me that Jesus wasn't His Son. You can't tell me any of those things because I will look at you and I say, no. Because I know for certain that exists. Those things exist. God lives and Jesus lives today. I know that. That is certainty. Now realize, there is a requirement that we have faith. Because without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, you cannot please God. There is no way that we can please God without faith. Now, I understand. Faith and belief are different. We'll get to that in just a second. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must have faith. I understand what faith is. There are people out there that said, all you have to do is believe and you'll be saved. And my response to that is, well, no. Because we all know the verse in James. Even the what? Even the demons believe. And none of them are going to be saved. But without faith, we also know this. We cannot please God. We must have it. And with that, faith requires action. I can sit up here all day long and tell you I believe in God. I can sit up here all day long and tell you I believe in Jesus Christ. I can sit up here all day long and tell you that I believe that the Word of God, the Bible, is indeed God's Word. I can say that without any doubt in my mind whatsoever. But does me saying that require me to do anything about it? Just believing doesn't get you there. It requires me to act on it, to do things with it. With that in mind, that indeed I must follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. I must follow the Word of God. These are things in which I must do in order to show my faith. Without faith, I am dead. With it, I have an eternity of life. And that is the difference between belief and faith. Belief does not require me to do anything, but faith requires me to move, to get up, to have action. That is faith. Now, Romans 10, chapter 17 tells us this. Faith comes by what? Hearing. So the first question I have for you is this. How are we going to increase our faith? First, I got to fix this. OCD stuff. First is, we must hear God's word. We must hear it. We must hear the word of God. That means two things. You must hear preachers preach. You must hear teachers teach. You must study His word. How do you know how to act like Jesus if you've never studied how Jesus acted? How would you know about the saving grace that comes through Jesus Christ if you've never studied about that saving grace? How would you know about the cross of Christ if you'd never studied the cross of Christ? Remember the eunuch. The eunuch was on his way back from Jerusalem because he had been worshiping God. He was an Ethiopian. He was not a Jew. He was what we call a proselyte. And he's reading from the book of Isaiah. And Philip joined himself with this proselyte, and he asked him, he said, "Do you understand what you read?" And his response was, "How can I unless some man tell me or show me? How can I understand it unless I'm guided, unless I'm taught? How can I understand these things?" And we know the story of the eunuch because from the very point that he was reading, Philip began to teach him about Jesus Christ. The story of Aquila and Priscilla and Apollos. Apollos was teaching the baptism of John. And Aquila and Priscilla came to him and began to teach him a more, what was it called? Excellent way. A more excellent way. The baptism of Jesus. And he didn't know about that baptism of Jesus until somebody showed him the way. Folks, we must show people the way. And we do it by teaching them about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father except by Him. So unless we teach others, then they cannot know the way. Now realize this also. How does this help us? I'll tell you this. When you plant a seed and you watch it grow, that raises your faith. That increases your faith. And folks, we don't know today what seed we may plant that tomorrow it may grow, it may blossom, it may bloom, it may produce fruit. I told you the other day we found a cantaloupe in our garden. Didn't know we had planted any cantaloupe. But we found one. It grew. It got big. And it rotted. But I'm going to tell you, Watching people grow is a wonderful blessing from God. And I also want you to know this, that the greatest blessing that I personally receive is when I see people grow in knowledge, in wisdom, in spirit, and when I see them come down and desire to be baptized. That is a great gift that God has given me when I see it happen. What a wonderful opportunity it is to teach God's Word. And I thank you for that opportunity. Second, Hebrews 10:25 tells us this. Don't abandon coming to worship. Folks, we need to be here because we grow together. We learn together. We teach together. Everything about it brings us together. We admonish one another. We edify one another. We lift each other up along the way. Even when things don't go as we think they should, you encourage me. And I hope that I encourage you. Because we want to be together as one in Jesus Christ. That's what we strive to do. And the more we're together, I want you to know this, the greater our faith becomes. It is not an accident that I pretty much have something to do every single night during the week. And Randy says he's going to have to increase my overtime. Like I said, twice nothing, still nothing. But I want you to understand, it is not an accident that I have something almost every night. I had a day off just the other day. A night off the other day. It was a night off. It was an evening off. And I got home and me and Kathy were sitting there and I go, well, what are we going to do? And she said, well, there's a TV program on. I said, really? I'm not really interested in that. I wanted to go somewhere. And you know what I did? I said, let's go to Sonic and get a slushie. Just something to get out of the house. Just something to get going. Folks, it's not an accident that I have something almost every night. Because I want to be with y'all. Y'all lift me up. Y'all help me along the way. It's a good thing that we come together on Monday nights and play pickleball. By the way, not this Monday. Okay? But it's a good thing that we do that. We come together just as friends, as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are together. Do not forsake the opportunities that you have to be together. Come together. Be with us. Enjoy the company. Enjoy the studies. Grow in knowledge, in wisdom, in faith. Thirdly, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 tells us something very important. This is something to make sure that our faith does not waver. Our faith does not diminish. And that is to make sure that we are not unequally matched with those who are not of the body of Christ. Make sure that we fellowship with believers. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again right now, that you are my family more than my physical family is. You will always be that way. Because we will share an eternity together. And I want you to know that some of my physical family probably won't do that. But we will. And therefore, You are my family. We will be together. And as a family, we should always strive to be together in everything that we do. I've told you before that I had to quit playing golf for a while because I was playing with guys that weren't in the family. Let's put it that way. And if you know me and I'm extremely competitive. I like to win. I get mad when I don't win. And I'm just good enough at golf to get really mad. Because one time I hit it straight and it'll be perfect right down the middle of the fairway. The next time I'll line up and hit it, it'll go in the creek or the sand trap or something like that. Or may even go about 2 or 3 yards. Ever do that, Brody? Hit one about 2 or 3 yards? Brody's played with me, so he knows. I used to have the rule that if I could throw the club further and I hit the ball, I got the difference. Folks, I learned that if I play with people like Brody, I play with Bob, if I play with Christian brothers and sisters, I don't get that way. Because we go out and we have a good time, a fellowship together. And if I hit one bad, it's okay. Because I know Brody's going to hit one bad too. So realize, make sure that we fellowship with one another. Come together. Because we're going to lift each other up. In our time of need, we're going to lift each other up. We're going to help each other along the way. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it always should be. Okay? Mark 8:18 tells us that what we need to do to increase our faith is this. We need to open our eyes and just see how much God is working in you. Are you aware of how much God works in you every day? Are you aware of the love that He has given to you through His Son, Jesus Christ? Are you aware how many times during the day you have been forgiven? Are you aware of the glory of a sunrise and the beauty of a sunset? Folks, grow your faith by opening your eyes and see just exactly what it is God has done for you today. See exactly what it is that God has done for you every day of your life. When He has helped you through your time of need, when He has been there during your time of accomplishment, it was always God, always God, who is always there. And Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." Matthew 28:20. "I am with you always and will never leave you." Realize what He has done for you this day as we have come together. And in Romans 8:28, look what it says. "All things work for good for those who love the Lord." So today, what you need to do is focus your attention on all the good that God has done for you. You know what? We have bad days. We have things that happen to us during the day that aren't good. And that's why it says, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Things bad will happen. But realize, God helped you through those bad things. Realize that God has always been there for you. And because of that, He is bringing you to the point that He wants you to be. And that point is salvation and an eternity with Him in heaven. Excuse me. I know that God has a place for us in heaven. He is waiting for us to be there with Him. But He wants as many of us as we can to get there. And that's why you are here today, is because your job is to bring as many of us with you to heaven as you possibly can. That's our job today. All things work for good. All things. If you love the Lord. Remember the man who had the son who had the epileptic fits. He came to the apostles and he talked to the apostles and he told the apostles to help him to heal his son, and none of them could do it. None of them could do it. And so he finally goes to Jesus. And he says to Jesus, he says, if you will you heal my son? And Jesus says, if I will, he says, do you not believe that I can do this? And the response of the man is my response. The response is really, really good. Because the response of the man is this: I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe. Help my unbelief. Now, I told y'all at the beginning of this lesson that I believe without a doubt that God is the creator of all things. That He is my Father. I believe without a doubt that Jesus Christ was His Son. I believe without a doubt that Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid my debt for sin. I believe without a doubt that there is a place called heaven. There is a place called paradise. I believe that those places are ready for us to come and be with Him there. I believe that. Without any doubt in my mind. But I want you to know that my problem is not that. My personal problem is exactly where this man's problem was. I believe that God can do all things. I believe that Christ can do all things. But there are times that I have doubt that He will do all things. Folks, that's where I fall short. You may be in the same boat that I'm in. But there are times that you may doubt. But I want you to know that every time that I see God working, every time that I just simply open my eyes and see Him work through these things, my doubt gets a little less. I know in my lifetime, as I look back, I can see that God was always there. I know in my lifetime, as I look back during the darkest days, the darkest hours of my life, that God was always with me. And I see how He worked with me through those times. And how, when it was all said and done, that He helped me in that time. Folks, in the times of your life when you are the lowest, remember, God will help you through it. And in those times that you are the lowest and God is helping you through it, remember this also, that all things work for good for those who love the Lord. When it is your time to stand before Jesus Christ, your faith will be set aside, because faith will be replaced by sight. And we will know, even as we are known, all things. And we will be with God forever. This is God's hope for us. This is our hope today. And one day soon, we will be there with Jesus Christ. If you have a need this morning, a need to be baptized, or a need for our prayers, we want to give you that opportunity to come this morning while together we stand and sing.